Today we're still in Exodus. We're studying our Exodus study, and we're going to be in Exodus chapter 28 this morning. And we're looking at the priests of the tabernacle, particularly at the priests' clothes. That's the focus here today, as remember, God's giving instruction on how we're going to make different articles in the tabernacle. Well, today it's the clothes that the priests were to wear. So I'd like to read our chapter, Exodus chapter 28. I'll read it, and then we'll get to looking at it here shortly. It's a long chapter, so bear with me. "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou wilt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments that they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen, with cunning work. It shall have two shoulder pieces thereof, joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, fine twined linen. And they shall take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold. And the two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains of the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and thou shalt put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate. Thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them in the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate and the border thereof, that is the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold shalt thou make, and shalt put them in the two sides of the ephod underneath, upon the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt bind the breastplate by the rings thereof into the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel on the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart, and he when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be a hole in the top of it, and in the midst thereof it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an abergin, that it be not rent. And the beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet. Round about the hem there shall thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in into the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the gravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it in a blue lace, that it may be upon the meter, and upon the forefront of the meter it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that it may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the meter of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons upon with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not out iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Lengthy chapter. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. I ask that you'll keep us mindful of them. I ask that you'll show us clearly this picture that you have of the clothing of the priest and the clothing of our great high priest. We thank you for it. Make this picture so clear. Give me your words. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So today, actually, if I could have the picture of the high priest, Brother Fisher, I've got a couple of pictures here to help us see things. Today, we're going to see the preparation for, this is from the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, where I found this picture. That's what our high priest looks like. We're focusing on him today. We're seeing the preparation for a formally established priesthood of the nation. Aaron and his sons were handpicked by Yahweh himself for this job. Handpicked. God selected them. Right in verse 1 it says, I want you to pick out Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Those are the guys. There were no lots drawn. There was no congregational voting. God chose them to the priesthood. There's a picture there for you and me if we're willing to see it. You know, you and I are chosen to a priesthood by God himself too. No, nothing else, just because God selected. Now, according to God, their primary function was to minister unto me. Same function you and I have, isn't it? I hope you see this picture as we're going through this. They did all this by handling the administration of the tabernacle and its sacrifices. So from here on out, all priests in Israel were descended from Aaron's line. And we see that. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4. As we try to make this clear. Not just anyone could be a priest. You had to be qualified. One of the qualifications was to be of Aaron's line. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. The calling of God to be a priest. Now the first five verses of this chapter, Exodus chapter 28, tell us what the clothing of the priest was to be made of, which included many of the same materials that the tabernacle itself was made of. plus gold and precious stones. We haven't seen gold and precious stones used a lot. Now we are going to. And they were to be made by artists who were wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, God says. So God clearly designated what materials they were to use, who was to wear them, and why the clothing was to be made and worn. Three times in five verses, the word holy shows up. Not necessarily clear in our English translations. The clothing was called holy in verse 2. Aaron is holy in verse 3. That's what the word consecrate really means. It's the same word. That's why I say it's not necessarily so clear in the English translation. The priests stand between a holy God and a sinful people. That's their job. Now, as we've said before, and as is clearly stated in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, the priests were sinful themselves. I think that's a picture for you and I too, isn't it? The priests were sinful themselves, and they needed to be atoned continually as well. But they represented God. And as such, they had to meditate, and they had to be completely dedicated toward God in order to mediate, to bring before the people His holiness to a sinful people. And these holy garments are described as glorious and beautiful. Glorious and beautiful. They're meant to show some of the glorious beauty of our God. He is a glorious God, isn't He? He is a beautiful God, isn't He? These clothes were designed, I mean, that's a fancy getup. That's to show a little bit of the glory and the majesty that God is. And that's what David was talking about. Let's look at some of the Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 29. If you don't want to, I'll read them myself. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory, do His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're here to do today. Psalm 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Beauty of holiness. Holiness is a beautiful thing. There's precious little of it around. Their glorious beauty, the priests, that is, was to show the people something of the what it would be to be in the wonder of God's presence. The high priest's clothes in particular, that's our focus here today, the high priest's clothes were designed to show dignity and honor. We see that was in verse 40 here today. God specifically calls it out. The reason He wore that fancy outfit was to show some of the dignity and honor that it is to serve God. You know, we're in a dignified position. We are ministers of God. I don't even know what my fancy getup looks like. I'm clothed in Christ's righteousness. I've got a pretty fancy getup too. It doesn't look it right now, but you're not seeing the real me. You're just seeing my earth suit. This was a constant reminder of the holiness of God. Now, the priests wore several different layers of clothing. If you could find the breeches picture. For the first was very special linen underwear that they had. I promised you that we were going to look. Oops, that flipped sideways there. Doesn't matter. That's his underwear. As you see, it comes all the way up to mid-chest and goes down to the middle bottom of your thigh. That's quite a pair of underwear. And that was of linen. On top of that was a patterned tunic, which we saw in the other picture. And that was tied at the waist with an embroidered sash. And that's described in verse 38. On top of that was a one-piece blue robe, according to verse 31. And on top of the robe was the embroidered ephod, that's his linen robe. And if we could have the ephod picture. I believe I've got another one. Anyway, maybe I don't. Anyway, we got his ephod, that's like his around his midsection there. Which was kind of like a little bit of an apron. Now, on top of the ephod was a linen chest piece that we saw described in verse 15. And that chest piece was a fancy, embroidered, jewel-encrusted device, and it was folded to make a small pocket. We saw that in verse 16. On his head, he wore a turban. We saw that in verse 39. Now, today, we're going to spend most of our time on the ephod and on the chest piece. Why, do you ask? Because God does. God spends most of his time on the ephod and the chest piece. 25 verses just to describe them. I don't know if you were counting them as we went through. 25 verses just to describe those items. So apparently they were important pictures to God. So we're going to take our time and look at them. So let's talk about the ephod, shall we? Nobody wants to talk about the ephod? All right, thank you. I got permission to talk about the ephod. That was a two-part sleeveless thing which covered the priest's upper body. A little bit like a fancy poncho, and it had a belt around it. It was made of the same kind of embroidered material as the inside of the tabernacle was made of. The two pieces of cloth that hung down the priest's front and back were joined together by shoulder straps, gold shoulder straps. You can see them there. And on top of the shoulder straps were onyx stones with six of the tribes of Israel and six of the tribes of Israel over here. They were engraved on the onyx stones on the shoulder straps so that when Aaron entered the tabernacle, he would be bearing the names of God's people before the Lord. And those stones were set in a gold filigree. We can see that there. With gold cords attached to the settings. By the way, these pictures here, that's obviously a wax statue. But the Temple Institute has already built these. These are the real clothes. They're planning on rebuilding the temple, and these are the clothes they intend to be wearing. So these are the real article. When I was over there, I got to see some of these. And it was tied at the waist with a girdle or a sash of the same material as the ephod itself, you can see. Now, and let's make a little bit of a side note. In Judges chapter 8, we got a Gideon made himself a counterfeit ephod. One of his lapses in his, I can't really say Christian walk, but in his walk with God, he had a little bit of a lapse, and he made himself a counterfeit ephod, and he made it of gold. You notice this one, it has gold, but it is not made of gold. It's linen. Which Israel then began to worship. They worshiped the ephod. Now, it's hard to imagine anyone worshiping a linen ephod. That's probably why he made one of gold, to kind of one-up God, if you will. And you know, people have been trying to do that all the time. God makes a plan, this is how I want it to be, and God's plan is usually pretty simple. It's when people try to elaborate it that they get in trouble, and that's what Gideon had. Then there's the chest piece, or breastplate, if you will. Different versions will call it different things. The breastplate, King James calls it, and it contained 12 precious stones. We can see them on the front there, 12 precious stones. On each stone was engraved a different name of one of the tribes of Israel. And this was to demonstrate that Aaron represented all 12 tribes of God's people when he walked into the holy place. It was made of the same embroidered linen, and was attached to the ephod by two golden cords. We can see them. The first set ran from golden rings on the top of the chest piece. It's kind of a little bit blurry. They're hard to see. But they got rings on the top of the chest piece there. And they went up into the gold settings for the shoulder straps, so the ephod. The second set ran from rings on the inside edges to rings attached to the ephod just above the sash. Not very clear, but they're off to the side there with the blue cord. Now, you may remember that we mentioned that in this chest piece was a special pocket. We can see that there. And in that pocket were the Urim and Thummim, which were used to determine God's will. Now, it's a little bit off topic because God doesn't talk about it very much here. But let's talk about these Urim and Thummim. The Hebrew words to describe it are Urim Thummim. That's your Hebrew. That's actually written right there. You can read it. Urim Thummim. It means the most dazzling light. That's literally what it means, the most dazzling light. So when God's will on a difficult judgment, something that wasn't really called out, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, if we got a situation, we don't know what God's will is in this particular judgment, that's where these come into play. And people have speculated a lot as to what these stones really were. God, frankly, doesn't really describe them very much in the Bible. He just says that they existed. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail saying what I think they were either, except to say that they were kept in that fancy breastplate so the high priest could reach into his pocket for them if he needs to determine what's going on, and somehow it was clear to him what God's will was from using these. I'm not going to speculate any further than that. I'm just going to simply take God's word as read. If you want to speculate, you go ahead. Verses 31 to 43 describe more clothing for the priests. We don't get the same degree of detail as we've seen this far, but it's still very interesting. The robe, which was underneath the ephod and the breastplate, was of one piece. That's that blue deal that he's wearing. One piece with a hem of alternating bells and pomegranates on it. If we could have the... Yeah, there we go. Had these embroidered pomegranates and bells. And that was more than just a decoration. That was more than just a decoration. That was a safety precaution. Remember, he entered the Holy of Holies by himself alone to offer the atoning blood. He was all by himself. The tinkling of the bells meant that he was still alive and that he was carrying out his duty. If the bells ever stop tinkling, then we've got a problem. We've got a dead high priest in the Holy of Holies. It's pretty certain that God struck him dead for defiling the holy place, and that happened a couple of times in the Old Testament. We find that sort of thing happened. And that's where Indiana Jones gets the idea of lightning coming out of the Ark of the Covenant and killing people. Because that's what the Old Testament says happened. If you defile God's holy place, that's what's going to happen to you. These are pretty little bells, but it's pretty serious stuff that we're talking about here. I think we're done with that. But there might be some more significance to the pomegranates, although I am reaching out a bit on this one, so bear with me. If you don't like it, go ahead and drop it. I'm not even so sure myself. But pomegranates are typically a symbol of fertility. Have you ever cut a pomegranate open? Has anybody ever cut a pomegranate open? They're just nothing but seeds. They're nothing but seeds. There's nothing else in them. So the parallel should be pretty obvious. They're seen as a picture of fertility. All they are is seeds. By placing them on the priest's robe, however, you're recognizing that God is the giver of life and of fruitfulness. We know why the bells are there. The bells are there so we can hear that the priest is still alive. The pomegranates are there because God gives that life. God gives that fruitfulness. I'm not going to take that to my grave, but I thought I'd throw it out there as something kind of interesting to you. The coolest article of clothes in my mind is the medallion, the crown there that he wears on his forehead. It was hanging down in front of his turban. We need to remember what he does. The priest was a mediator between the holiness of the Lord and the sinfulness of the people. And that medallion reads, "Holiness unto the Lord." That's all it says. Holiness unto the Lord. See, he was the one, the high priest, was the one who carried away the guilt of the people in God's name. God wants to forgive all men and make them a holy priesthood for his service. That's what God wants to do. So let's have a little bit of a last thought. I'm going to wrap this up as we're looking at the high priest clothes, and I'm going to try and close up the picture that we've got here. Most of what we've described here today was strictly for the high priests to wear. That's that guy right there. Not every priest wore a fancy outfit like that. Most of the priests just wore simply plain white linen robes, the robe that we saw earlier. That's what an ordinary priest wore. That's the priest like you and me. We are all priests in God's service. First Peter says that. Jim. I imagine that it was. There's a lot of gold in it. I imagine that it was quite heavy. A lot of stones, a lot of gold. And the high priest was expected to wear that every day. Now, as we say, the regular priest would wear similar things, except they didn't have the blue robe, they didn't have the ephod, and they didn't have the breastplate. Other than that, they wore similar clothing. They had the turban, they didn't have the crown on top. So they got the turban and the white robes. They were basically dressed all in white. I hope you know what the picture is there. See, the picture for you and I is that we have a great high priest, Jesus, but we are clothed in the exact same pure white linen righteousness that he has. We wear the same robes that he does. Now, he's a lot fancier get up for his special job. He's got one special job that he does. He performs a different job. But we share in his righteousness, don't you see? He does one job. He bears our name, all the names of his people, on that breastplate before the Ark of the Covenant, before my God, to carry away the guilt of my sin. That's why he wears slightly different outfit than I do, but I'm still clothed in his righteousness. Do you see the picture? What a beautiful, beautiful blessing that is. We are a holy priesthood, a chosen people. What a thing, chosen by God himself. I'd like to close with a word of prayer on that.